Welcome to Canvas Church. You are listening to our weekly celebration service message. Thank you for tuning in.
We're going to continue our This Is Us series, which has been all about the church, what the church is supposed to look like according to Bible globally. And so no matter where you're at, what is the function of the church? Who is the church supposed to be? And we've been talking about that. In the mix with that, we've talked about some of these core values right here that Canvas Church holds so dearly to our heart. And you saw one of them on the screen earlier, right? Fun. And we've been talking about some of those and just discovering again who the church and what the church is supposed to be. And in Ezekiel chapter 47, I believe there's a great picture here of the church that God sees. And the church that I see for Canvas. What is the church? The word is ecclesia in scripture, and it means a called out and called together group of people. Every time the church is mentioned in scripture, it's not talking about a building, it's not talking about an organization, it's talking about a gathering of people, which is so important to understand because you can't be the church by yourself. And I hate to say it, you can't be the church sitting at home watching somebody online. You can only be the church when you come together. That's where the Bible says, wherever two or three agree upon, it's done. It says, wherever two or three gather together in his name, there he is. Are you with me? Church is a called out group. It's a gathering of people. Here for Canvas Church, we've been calling the church this. Yeah, this is our definition. It's a group of imperfect people who have come together and gathered together to seek a God who would love them in their imperfections. Yeah, right? So here we are, and we're gathered together. And we're looking at the church. Ezekiel chapter 47, verse 1. This great prophet gets a revelation. And I want to read it. And it says, then he brought me back to the entrance of the temple, and there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple toward the east, for the temple faced east. And here's what you got to understand about scripture, that God would speak to people and use pictures and analogies that they understood in their context, okay? And so when Ezekiel starts to get this vision and this revelation from God, he sees the temple. The temple, though, is representative of the church. It's representative of the gathering together, but the temple is the way he sees it, and the temple is the way he describes it because that's his context. Our context as we're reading this, the church is not a building. The church is not an organization. What Ezekiel is seeing here is he is seeing the church, and look what he says about the church. And I saw the church, and there was a river. There was this water flowing from under the threshold of the church toward the east. Why? Because that's the direction it faced. And what you learn as you begin to dive deeper into scripture and you begin to study out the word, is that water often represents the Holy Spirit. So when you read about rain in the Bible, it's representative of the Holy Spirit raining down. When you read about a river, it's representative of the Holy Spirit flowing through people's lives. Here Ezekiel sees the church. And what does he see in the church? He sees the presence of God. He sees the power of the Holy Spirit flowing from the church. The water was coming down from under the south side of the threshold of the temple, south of the altar. Next, he brought me out by the way of the north gate and led me around the outside to the outer gate that faced east. There, the water was trickling from the south side. As the man went out east with a measuring line in his hand, he measured off a third of a mile and led me through the water. It came up to my ankles. Now notice, at the very beginning of the church, the temple, what does it say? It's just a trickle. But as he goes out further, it's now up to his ankles. Then he measured off a third of a mile and led me through the water. It came up to my knees. He measured off another third of a mile and led me through the water. It came up to my waist. Again, he measured off a third of a mile, and it was a river that I could not cross on foot, for the water had risen. It was deep enough to swim in, a river that could not be crossed on foot. He asked me, do you see this, son of man? And then he led me back to the bank of the river. Now, I want you to see this. When I had turned, I saw a very large number of trees alongside the banks of the river. What is he seeing here? You know, we've talked about it over the last couple weeks. The Bible says, the psalmist wrote this, that the righteous are like trees planted in the house of the Lord. What Ezekiel's seeing here is not natural trees. What he's seeing here is people. Ezekiel now sees these people, and it's a very large number of trees along both sides of the riverbank. He said to me, the water flows out of the eastern region and goes down to the Arabah. When it enters the sea of foul water, listen to this now, the water of the sea becomes fresh. Whatever flows out of the church, it touches, and that thing becomes whole. That thing becomes fresh as whatever flows out of the church touches culture. Are you with me? Whatever flows from the presence of God, the life-giving river, man, it comes out, and whatever it touches that is not fresh now becomes fresh. Every kind of living creature that swarms will live wherever the river flows, and there will be a huge number of fish because this water goes there. What's he seeing? What's he talking about? Well, in the New Testament, when Jesus called for his first followers, what did he say? He said, hey, come follow me. I will make you fishers of men. Notice what he says. I see living creatures of all kinds. Man, all cultures, all races, all walks of life, all backgrounds. Man, the river flows out, and there is a great number of fish, every living thing. Since the water will become fresh, there will be life everywhere the river goes. Man, fishermen will stand beside it. There will become places where nets are spread out to dry. Their fish will consist, I love this part, will consist of many different kinds. Come on, there's the cultures, there's the races, there's the backgrounds, there's the walks of life. Like the fish of the Mediterranean Sea, yet its swamps and marshes will not be healed. They will be left for salt. All kinds of trees, I love this, this is the people again, all kinds of trees providing food will grow along both the banks of the river. Their leaves will not wither and their fruit will not fail. Each month they will bear fresh fruit because the water comes from the sanctuary. It comes from the midst of the church. Their fruit will be used for food and their leaves for medicine. Now, what a great revelation he has of the church. Let me read to you John chapter 4, verses 13 and 14. And this is a great story about Jesus meeting a woman by the well who's trying to draw water up from this well. And they have this great encounter. And in the conversation, Jesus says to her, everyone who drinks from this water will get thirsty again, pointing to the natural water from the well. Everyone who drinks from this water, they'll get thirsty again. But whoever drinks from the water that I will give him will never get thirsty again. Are you with me? The water flowing from the church, flowing through the people. They'll never thirst again. Listen to this. In fact, the water I will give him will become as a well of water springing up within him for eternal life. The water, the life-giving water, the presence of God flows through the church. I want to talk to you over the next few moments about a life-giving church. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for your word. God, we thank you for the revelation, this image that Ezekiel saw, that he's able to convey to us today through scripture, through your word. And God, I pray that in the next few moments that as we unpack this, that God, you would challenge us, you would encourage us, you would stir our faith, so that we could understand that we are that life-giving river, that we are that life-giving church. Now, wherever we go, we can make an impact. Help me now, I pray, to create a place for people to encounter you, know your love, and understand the incredible plan you have for their life. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, amen. About 5 years ago, my wife and I were living in a rented house, and it was a friend of ours, and so they let us treat it like our own, and so we did. And I remember in this house we had a dishwasher that was not cleaning dishes. Anybody ever had one of those before? Isn't it like one of the most annoying things? It's like, it's either you wash the dishes before you put them in the dishwasher, which there's no point in that. But how many of you guys do that? Let's be honest. How many wash your dishes before you put them in the dishwasher, right? Or you put them in the dishwasher and now the food that was on them is actually on caked on them, right? And it's, oh man, it's gross. And so we got so tired of that. We're like, we're going to replace this dishwasher. And so I just had a knack of finding appliances cheap. And so we happened to find this dishwasher brand new. It's like, hey, let's get that thing and let's install it. And she's like, okay. And so I remember I bought it, sat around for a couple days. And it was a Saturday. And at that time we had Saturday night prayer. Now we have Saturday morning prayer because the ministry team said they would come if we had it in the morning. So we moved to the morning. And but we prayed at night back then. And so, I don't know, we prayed from like 6 to 7. So we roll up back at the house around 7:30. And I thought, you know, I'm just going to throw the dishwasher in. My wife looks at me and goes, what? So I'm just going to throw the dishwasher in. She goes, you make it sound like it's easy. I'm like, babe, come on, I got this. I've done dishwasher before. It's just unplug and unscrew and just and then put it all back together. It's perfect. She's like, okay, whatever. And I thought, it'll only take me 30, 45 minutes. Not a big deal. And so I you know, undo the screws, gently scoot the thing away and unplug it, right? And then I go and I turn off, you know, under the sink, right? Y'all ever done this before? Turn off the sink, there's no water coming into that dishwasher. And I'm like, okay, all set. And I was like, hey, but get a little bucket because there's always some runoff. And so I want to make sure we catch that and doesn't get all over the floor. And she's like, okay. And so she gets it and she's holding it. And I unhook that thing and water comes shooting out. Okay, now this thing is not very big. It's just a little tiny hose. But water comes shooting out of that thing. And I'm standing there first like, that seems a little more water than usual. And as it continues to fill up that bucket, I'm thinking, oh my God, this ain't shutting off. And so I quickly go down there to turn the thing more and realize that the thing's broke. Now let me just specify something real quickly. I did not break it. The owner told us later that, oh yeah, I forgot to tell you, that thing's broke. Right. So water is now coming out. The bucket's full. I run and dump the bucket, but water is getting all over the floor and it's literally going everywhere. And I'm thinking to myself, man, what am I going to do? Well, I'm going to go turn off the main water. So I run down to where the main water shutoff should be. I lift up the lid and there's no shutoff. Come to find out later, gophers had buried it, but whatever, okay? But I'm looking and I'm like, there's no shutoff. I'm like, it's supposed to be there. What are we going to do? And so now I'm running back up and I'm literally running all over this property. It's about 3/4 acres. I'm running all over the property. I'm looking for everywhere. Like there's gotta be some way of shutting this thing off. And I'm just yelling at her and she's yelling back at me. The kids are running around just yelling because they don't know what to do. And I'm like, I don't know what to do. And now at this point, the neighbors are probably looking over there like, I knew that pastor was weird. I'm like, dang it, what are we gonna do? And so now I'm like, okay, I can't figure out how to shut this thing off. I'm gonna MacGyver it. Now some of you don't even know anything about MacGyver. Right? There was a show back in the day called The A-Team. Dun, 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 right? There was a guy, MacGyver, on there, and he could like fix anything. And so I'm like, I'm gonna have to MacGyver this thing. And so I'm thinking, I know what I'll do. I'll go get the garden hose, because that little hose is so tiny. I'll go get that garden hose, and I'll stick the garden hose over that, and the water will just shoot outside until we figure out what we're gonna do. And so I run over and I go to unscrew the hose. And as I'm unscrewing the hose, the PVC valve thing, the spigot breaks. Boom. And now all of a sudden a 30-foot geyser of water is shooting up in the air. Oh yeah, laugh at my pain. And all of a sudden I'm like freaking out, but I hear my wife go, babe, whatever you did, it helped. As I'm watching the Bellagio water show in my yard, I'm like, no, it didn't. She's like, no, it really didn't. I was like, no. It didn't. And so I find a little turn off for that. So I turn that off. She goes, no, whatever you did, it's worse. It's worse. I'm like, I know, but the Bellagio show only lasts so long. And I go back in and I'm like, babe, like I broke that too. And I don't know what to do now. And she's like, I told you shouldn't have started this project. There's water literally going everywhere. And we're grabbing towels, trying to create channels for the water to make sure it doesn't get on the wood. As long as it stays on the tile, we're good. So kids, I kid you not, kids are running through the house, grabbing blankets, grabbing towels. Like one of my daughters was laying there trying to keep the water from a, I was just like, man, what are we gonna do, right? Needless to say, we finally got the water shut off. But you know what? This was the interesting thing about it was that little tiny hose. It was just such a little thing here, but it got out there and it spread everywhere. And it impacted everything it touched. Because you know what? It wasn't about the size of the hose. It was about the power of what was inside the hose.
Come on, come on.
And I've come to realize something. It's not about the size of the church. It's about what flows in and through the church. And Ezekiel here has a revelation of the church. He says, man, what starts out as a little trickle over here on this side, the further I get away, and the further I get away from that, I used to think that, man, I got to be in church to experience the presence of God. I got to be here. I mean, come on, we walk in here and yeah, we can experience the presence of God, but look at the revelation that Ezekiel has. He sees the church and he's like, man, the presence of God, the Spirit of God is like a river and it's flowing in and through the church. But look, it doesn't stay here. It goes out, and the further out it gets, the deeper the river gets, because God understands something. You don't need him for what's going on in here. You need him for what's going on out there, because he is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to the knowledge of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. He says, look, church, here is good, but when you get out there, my presence is going to be with you, and it's going to get deeper the further you go, because I want to see those people saved and in relationship with me. Amen. So that's about what happens here. And I believe that Ezekiel gives us this incredible revelation of the church, but not just any church, a life-giving church. Let me just give you a few things that I see that Ezekiel wants to unpack for us today. And the first one is this, is a life-giving church understands the Spirit of God flows in and through the church. The Spirit of God flows in and through the church. Say, I am the church. And it's you. The Spirit of God flows in and through you, but please remember, you cannot be the church by yourself. The church is a called out, called together group. It's the ecclesia. There's so much value that happens in these moments. Although this isn't the end all, this isn't the stop, this is just the beginning point. There is so much value when you come together and you begin to seek God together and you begin to study the word together and you begin to worship together. I'm telling you right now, there were some of you, you walked in kind of like a little heavy spirit, and all of a sudden worship took off, man. And all of a sudden that began to lift. Why was that? Because the presence of God is here. The Spirit of God flows in and through the church. And you are the church. And we are the church. And the Spirit of God flows in and through us. See, I think that some of us forget that. I feel like maybe some of us forget it because we maybe take it for granted. Or maybe we got hurt in the church. But I'm telling you right now, people feel the presence of God when they walk through, let me read this to you, they walk through the doors of the church. Got this. This is pretty powerful. And I'll change the name so nobody knows I'm talking about them. Hey, Pastor Ben, I want to say thank you to you and Canvas Church. Thank you. I brought a friend today, and for the first time, they walked through the doors of church for the first time. And they absolutely loved it. This person's life is being changed already by the message. It seems like this person wants to keep attending Canvas Church and wants to start bringing his family. Listen to this. This person is now reading through the Beautifully Wrecked book. If you've never read our Beautifully Wrecked book, it's 7 true stories about people's lives who have been transformed by the presence of God right here at Canvas. This person's reading it, and now that they're reading it, they want to join a small group, which inspired me to join one as well. Isn't that awesome? I brought somebody to church. I'm not attending a small group. This person gets, I want to join one too. That's awesome, right? But check this out. This is the best part. It's amazing to watch this person's life being transformed as the messages reach him. This person said they felt an overwhelming peace come on them when they stepped foot into Canvas Church. That's you. Listen, we're in a theater, ladies and gentlemen. Right. Yeah. We're in a theater. Like this is like movies, popcorn, right? Well, what's this person saying? This person is saying, when I walked into the church, you, the community, I felt the overwhelming peace and presence of God. How powerful is that? And you get that opportunity weekly. But sometimes I think maybe we forget that. Listen to me, there's so much value gathering together, whether it's a small group, whether it's on a Sunday morning, Why? Because the presence of God, the Spirit of God flows in and through the church. Are you with me? Matter of fact, Zechariah 4:6 says, it's not by might, it's not by power, meaning it's not by our abilities, it's not by our gifts, it's not us, but it's by the very Spirit of God. The Spirit of God flows in and through the church. A life-giving church understands number two, what happens in the church is not meant to stay in the church. What happens in the church is not meant to stay in the church. See, some of you are treating the church like your trip to Vegas. Y'all seen the commercial? What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, right? We lived in Vegas for 3.5 years. We'd see those commercials all the time. See, some of you treat church like that. What happened there will stay there, right? You go back to work on Monday. Hey, what'd you do this weekend? Oh, I had a good time. Well, what'd you do? Just hung out. Yeah, well, what'd you get you on Sunday? I tried to get a hold of you. Oh, I was at a theater. Cool. What movie did you see? This Is Us. Oh, they came out with a movie? Yes, sure. Cool, man. I'll have to check that one out. Yeah, yeah. Hey, what's the movie running this day? Oh, it depends on the weekend. What do you mean? It depends on if I got paid or not. Some of you get that one. And you just know what happens in church stays in the church. But here's the thing. A life-giving church understands that what happens in the church is not meant to stay in the church. Sunday is just the beginning point. It's just the trickle. What's happening in the temple in Ezekiel's vision, that water that's flowing under, it don't stay there. It doesn't stay there. It's not like this swirling pool. You know, we're not a hot tub church. Come on, somebody. No, there's a river. It's not like there's this pool, like, oh, and there was a pool under the temple, and we jumped in, and we just sat there and hung out, and it was awesome. Oh, it's a river. And the further out he got, the deeper the water got. Why? Because what happens here isn't meant to stay here. What happens here isn't meant to stay here. It's meant to go out and impact the community. I mean, so much that later, man, whatever it touches, man, it transforms. Are you hearing this today? See, what happens in here isn't meant to stay. This isn't like, no, the Bible says we're to be like a city on a hill, a light that shines for everybody to see. Man, it impacts, it's visible, it's life-changing, it's life-transforming, right? A couple of songs started coming to my mind as I was getting ready for this. How about, this little light of mine, that's a light. I'm gonna let it shine, this little light of mine. I'm gonna let, I thought somebody'd be getting their flashlight out at this point. This little light of mine. Right, thanks, babe. I'm gonna, some people, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Hide it under a orange bucket, oh no. Right? You'll let it shine. Why? Because it makes an impact. It's called your testimony. What happens in you, right? I remember this other one. I grew up in church. Most of you probably won't even know this song, but I grew up in church. And so I know this song. It's, I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. Opens prison doors, sets the captives free. Some of you know it, right? Yeah, some of you are like, you got the motion. Let's do the motions, Pastor. Come on, we just got to the good part. Don't stop now. All right, some of you are like shaking. He's going to do it. Spring up, oh well. Right? That's the splish splash. Right? Y'all, some of you go, all right. Right? Think about that song, though. This is Ezekiel's vision. Man, there's a river of life flowing in us, through us. And it's not meant to be contained. It's not meant to stay there. It's meant to go out and impact the culture, impact the city, impact the people, impact your job place, impact wherever it goes. That's the point. So some of you are like, I'm ready, Pastor. Let's do it. Come on, where's the homeless ministry? What? If that's you, go. Do the homeless ministry. Pastor, come on, let's evangelize. Go. Go evangelize. But let's be honest. You don't have to complicate it. Wherever the river goes, it impacts. Are you with me? We don't have to. We don't have to come up with a specific river flow. Like, I think what we need to do is we can, but we don't have to. It can just be wherever the river goes. Wherever the, now, if you understand this, if you catch this, it changes everything. If you understand that you are the church, and according to Ezekiel's revelation, the Spirit of God is flowing in and through you, that means wherever you go, man, the river of life is there. And you just bring life wherever you go. It changes everything. So now when you go to work and you're getting ready in the morning, you're not just be like, oh, I gotta go to work. You're like, man, I'm putting on the black suit, the black sunglasses. Come on, somebody. Right? Like, I love Pastor Melissa's analogy last week as she was talking about generosity. Like, we're spies or like the secret, you know, undercover. Like, that's not just with finances. That's like our life. Right. Like, wherever I go, man, that means there's somebody at my job place. Man, I get in, I'm walking. That means when you get that text, when you're driving home from work from your wife that says, hey, baby, can you stop by the store and pick up some butter and some milk? Y'all got those texts before? You're not annoyed. You're not like, why did you pick a dinner that needs butter and milk? Knowing you don't have butter and milk. And now I gotta stop and get butter and milk. Now, that's not me. I'm just interpreting some of your thoughts. Right? No, it changes it now. You get the text and you're like, yeah! Matter of fact, I'm gonna go get the butter at one store and the milk at another. And then hope when I get home, she forgot to ask for something. Because that's probably gonna happen about 90% of the time. Right? No, you're excited now. Everything changes. It ain't about butter and milk. There must be somebody there that needs the flow that's in me to touch them. There must be. I mean, this can't just be coincidence that my wife needs butter and milk. I mean, it happens 6 times a week, but it can't be coincidence. Yeah, somebody's like, oh, man, I feel you, Pastor. But man, you're on a mission. It changes everything. You're excited to go to the store now. You're excited to go to that restaurant. You're excited. Oh, detour? Not a problem. I'm running 15 minutes behind, but it's okay. God has an assignment for me. I'm serious. This last week, my wife and I, we wanted to bless one of our new neighbors who had just lost her husband. And so we wanted to go pick up a card and a gift for her and pay our condolences. So we were going to go to one place, and then we're like, no, let's not go there. Let's stop at this other store instead. We weren't even planning on going there. And we walk into the store, and about 30 seconds into being in the store, all of a sudden I hear, Pastor Ben? I'm like, yes. She introduced herself again, like, oh my gosh. Haven't seen this woman probably in 14 years. And right there, man, the Spirit of God was flowing. She opened up to us, shared some things. And my wife and I said, hey, let's pray for you. And right there in the supermarket, main aisle. Seriously, main aisle. Registers are right here. Let's pray. Let's pray. And we surround her, we prayed for her. And I truly believe that from the time we saw her to the time that she left, her countenance changed. And that's not because of me. And it wasn't because of my prayer. It's because there's a river of life flowing out of me. Are you with me? What happens here doesn't stay here. Number three, let me just give you a couple more here and we'll finish up. Number three, a life-giving church understands where we focus is where we impact. Notice that the, the river was flowing east. Oh, is there significance to that? Yes, there is. The entrance was facing east. So wherever the focus is, there the impact is. Well, whatever we choose, listen to me, God has invested something great into us. Let's not waste it. Where's the focus? Where's the intentionality? What are we doing with what God's put in us? Because if we focus it, man, it will make a dramatic impact in somebody's life. A life-giving church, number four, understands the further the reach, the deeper his presence. The further the reach, the deeper his presence. The further Ezekiel went out from the temple, the greater the river became. I believe that in 2019, that Canvas Church is gonna reach further, that we're gonna go deeper, that we're gonna see the presence. See, as your pastor, I've been praying, God, I want more of your presence. God, I want more of your presence. God, I want more of you, more of you, more of you. And all I can hear him say is, good, go, go, go. What is he saying? He's saying, look, you want more of my presence, go meet more of my people. You want more of my presence, go meet the needs of more of my people. Because that's what I'm in. I'm into people. That's what I'm into. I'm into saving souls. I'm into reaching the lost. I'm into gathering those that are far from me into a relationship with me. You want more of my presence? Listen, I've given you all that you need. Go out and make an impact. And the further we go, I believe the deeper his presence will run in our church. And lastly, number five, a life-giving church understands that whatever the church touches is transformed. That whatever the church touches is transformed. Whatever we touch, wherever the river went, the Bible says as soon as it touched the fowl, it became fresh. That is the power of the presence of God working in and through your life. When you are living life on assignment, when you're headed to that grocery store, when you're headed to that restaurant, when you're headed to that neighborhood, when you're headed to your job, you understand that I'm on assignment and whatever I touch today, man, it can't help but be transformed because the presence of God is flowing in and through my life and whatever the river touches will be changed, will become better, will become sweeter, will become greater, will come to know the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords through the life-giving church, the life-giving river. Is somebody with me this morning? I believe there's a river flowing from you. I believe there's a river flowing from the church because we see it right here. And you got to know that your life has purpose, your life has meaning, and wherever you go, we'll be transformed. God, we thank you for your word today. God, we thank you for the revelation that Ezekiel had. God, we thank you that it not only impacts what takes place right here, but God, it impacts everywhere we go. Everywhere we go.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, please visit our website at www.canvaschurchsd.com.